In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, we celebrate the memory of the Holy Forefathers, and that's all the righteous saints of the Old Testament who look forward to the coming of Christ. And especially among those saints, we make special mention in the service last night of the prophet Daniel and the three youths, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of the reasons for this is that the prophet Daniel foresaw the coming of Christ, and we read one of his prophecies on Christmas Eve. On these occasions, like Holy Saturday, there are so many readings that it's almost impossible to talk about them on the day that they actually are read. So I'd like to talk about this particular reading today. It's Daniel chapter 2. It begins with King Nebuchadnezzar having had a dream that troubled him. At this time, he was at the height of his power. He had conquered the Middle East. He had, among other nations, destroyed the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem in the process and took its people captive to Babylon. However, this dream left him very unsettled, and so he called together all of his magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and the wise men of the Chaldeans, and he asked them to tell him what the dream meant. But he also asked them to tell him what the dream was, because he couldn't remember all of the dream. And he said to these wise men and magicians and sorcerers, "If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." And so the wise men said, "Well, let the king tell the servants of the dream, and we will show him the interpretation thereof." And Nebuchadnezzar's response was, "Quit stalling. Tell me the dream first, and then I'll know that you're telling me the truth, that you really have the insight that you claim to have when you tell me what it means." These men responded back to him, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is an unusual thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." But we're told that King Nebuchadnezzar was very angry and that he commanded his soldiers to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And so the king's soldiers went and they sought out Daniel and the three youths as well. But Daniel said to the captain of the guards, "What was the reason for this hasty command of the king?" And he explained to him what the king had asked the wise men to tell him, that they were unable to do it, and that this was the reason for the command. And so Daniel went into the king and he asked for time, but he said that he would tell him what the dream was and what it meant. And so he went with Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and they prayed together for God's mercy and that he would reveal to them the king's dream. And that night in a vision, God revealed it to Daniel. So we're told that Daniel asked to go before the king. And he said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have of myself, any more than any other man, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and of clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And then he told the king what it meant. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And the toes and the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so that the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof are sure. The prophet Daniel didn't explain to Nebuchadnezzar all the significance of that vision. The main message to Nebuchadnezzar was that his kingdom would pass, that it was not a permanent kingdom. And if you read the next chapter, you see that Nebuchadnezzar didn't really get the meaning of the dream, because what did he do? He went and he made an image of gold, probably based on this image that he saw in this dream, trying to have something that would last and outlast him. But what the fathers tell us is obviously, as he told to Nebuchadnezzar, the head represented the Babylonian Empire. The arms of silver were the Persian Empire that came after him within the lifetime of the prophet Daniel. The belly and the thighs of brass represent the empire of Alexander the Great and those that came after him. And the legs of iron and the feet that were partly of iron and partly of clay represent the Roman Empire, which crushed everything, but also the kingdoms that came in its wake. And we clearly are in that wake, because if you look at the various nations of the earth, we all want to claim certain aspects of the Roman Empire. We've been heavily influenced by it, but we're not quite the same, and we're certainly divided. The stone that was cut without hands and smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and of clay and break them to pieces, is Christ, who was born of a virgin, which is why it says that it was cut without hands of man. And he comes into history and he destroys all the kingdoms of men. And it says the stone becomes a great mountain and it fills the whole world. And the fathers tell us that this is the church. If you listen to the services and the hymns of the church, you very often hear references to this prophecy. Very often the virgin is referred to as the unquarried mountain from which Christ was cut without hands of man. Then we're told that King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped Daniel. He bowed before Daniel, and he commanded that they would offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret." And then it says, "And the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. and chief of the governors, which are over all the wise men of Babylon. There are a number of important things to take from this story. One of them is that God is able to use us in whatever circumstances that we're in. A lot of times, people who are in difficult circumstances feel like, what can I do? I'm faced with this difficulty. Only when God takes this away from me will I be able to do what I'm really supposed to do. Well, here you had Daniel and the three youths that had been taken captive into Babylon. Their country had been destroyed. The temple that they loved so much was destroyed. And they were brought into this strange land as little more than slaves. And yet, they were faithful to God. They didn't waver in their faith. And in the midst of that situation, God was able to use them. And God not only changed their situation, but he made Daniel a ruler over the people who had taken him captive. We also see that there are many things that demons and fortune tellers can fake, but there are many things that they cannot fake. And that's what distinguishes a true miracle from a phony one. Because if Nebuchadnezzar had told them the dream, they could have given all kinds of interpretations to that dream because they'd have had something to work with. But only God could have revealed that dream to the prophet Daniel. And so God showed who he was, and this began to reveal who he was to Nebuchadnezzar, although, as I've mentioned, the lesson wasn't fully learned at this point. But the most important lesson that we take from this is that kingdoms rise and fall. We have no earthly abiding kingdom in this world. In this last election, our country was very worked up about what was going to happen, and we are still worked up about it. And there are those that think that the worst thing that could possibly ever happen has happened, and then there are those that are rejoicing in what has happened. But the important thing for us as Christians to keep in mind is that this is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through a foreign land. The country, the kingdom that is abiding, is the kingdom of God, and that kingdom has already begun to blossom in this world, and we'll see it come to its full fruition at the second coming of Christ. That's the kingdom that we owe our allegiance to. That's the kingdom that we have to serve. That's where we have to have our hope. And so, regardless of whatever the fortunes of any nation may be, we have no reason to despair. We have no reason to lack hope, because even when Daniel and the three youths had seen the kingdom that many people thought would never be destroyed, the temple that they thought God would protect destroyed, but was destroyed because of the lack of fidelity to the covenant that the people had, they maintained that faith, they persevered, and the faith did not die. That's the faith that we need to place our hope in. Amen.